This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Hello, football fans, and welcome to the Onside Kick. My name is Ricky Widmer, and as always, I'm joined by the Mark Weber.
Dub them E's.
And Mark, this is just a really down week. I feel like I say this from time to time, but this is a really down week after football.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's not too much exciting going on. The biggest storyline, of course, you know, with Jamal Charles, but it's of a slightly
sorry Josh.
Irrelevant team. So
did we really just say Josh at the same time?
He's, you know, he's in trouble. He's going to be really upset with this podcast because we're not really going to talk about Jamal Charles very much.
Oh, it's okay. I am feeling the brunt too, as I have Charles in my our fantasy league, and then in my big money fantasy league. And guess what? I can't cut him in that one.
Yeah, he's just
I cannot cut him. So he's just gonna sit there. But I mean, other than that, like this week we had the big storylines of I guess the Bengals are undefeated.
Yeah.
Packers stayed undefeated. The Lions
Aaron Rodgers threw interception
for the first time since 2012. The Lions are continuing their quest for 0-16.
Yep. Good luck. It's great. The Bears won yet another game.
And you're happy great. With a 2-3 start.
I'm thrilled. I mean, I didn't think we were going to win some games. So this is great. Life's good. Life is very good.
Here's the thing that we're going to talk about today. And kind of to piggyback off of what me and Brandon talked about, more of the college side of this in the Primetime Podcast. So go ahead and check that out after you listen to this. But today's podcast is, you see it on the title, should Chip Kelly leave the NFL for USC? And I mean, that could be expanded into college because, Mark, I'm going to tell you a tweet I mentioned today as soon as I found out Steve Sarkisian was out at USC. I said, if the Eagles do not make the playoffs, Chip Kelly will be the coach of the Trojans next season.
I mean, I guess he probably should. It's tough because does USC want to fill this position quick? Or do they hold out hope and want to wait?
Right
because
now they Chip have an, Kelly, right now they have an in-house interim. Mm-hmm.
Because Chip Kelly, if we remember, you can't trust the man's word. He will tell you one thing and change his mind, and then change his mind again.
He said he was staying at first, right?
He was going to stay at Oregon, then he goes over, of course. There was some talk about possibly the Browns at one point. I don't know how much of that was just a rumor, but then he remembered it was the Browns, and he didn't want to be in the Cleveland because... Do you want to take your family
the
to Cleveland?
Of sadness? No.
No one wants to go to Cleveland. So, I don't know. It's tough in that case. If you're USC, I don't know if you pin all your hopes on it, on getting Chip Kelly. But I think one important part to this, Ricky, is that he might, in your scenario too, he might not have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
He might be getting the boot. I mean, he's got a lot of power in Philadelphia, so I don't know how that's necessarily going to work because they've really committed a lot to the Chip Kelly system here. I mean, he traded everything away
I was just thinking about that. I mean, to me, that's the big – on the NFL side of it, I mean, to me, the big thing with Chip Kelly is if you don't trade away LeSean McCoy, you don't trade away Nick Foles, this team isn't as bad. I mean, Sam Bradford is not as bad as all Philly fans want to rag on him for. But
it's not that good either.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Uh-huh.
Nothing was broke with Nick Foles.
Yeah.
I mean, the LeSean McCoy one, you could really argue if you're a avid fan of the Eagles or Chip Kelly that, oh, we need to make that move because we needed Kiko Alonso at the time because now he's injured. But really, to me, I'm thinking you didn't need to trade those two players.
Yeah.
You didn't need to make those moves. Especially now, knowing in hindsight that Kiko Alonso got injured this year. And he's out for the complete year with an ACL injury. But I just, part of me thinks, you know what, Chip? Maybe you're better off going back to college.
I mean, some people just don't work out in the NFL, and that's obvious. It happens all the time. I don't know if Chip's going to be one of those guys. My original prediction when he came into the NFL was that he was. For a while, I thought, oh, man, was I wrong. But it's interesting. I mean, it's not really seeming to work out in Philadelphia. We talked about this last week where I said, I'm still waiting. And the more I wait, the more it looks like that plan is never going to give me the aha moment from Chip Kelly.
To me, with Chip Kelly, it kind of sounds like it's very much wildcatty.
Mm-hmm.
Where that first year,
it was great.
It was great. They made the playoffs. No one knew. Now everyone has. We'd say it every time we talk about this. Everyone has film now on Chip Kelly, and they know like how to approach it. Okay, this is what we can do that week. Okay, this is what we need to do heading into that game, to where now teams are a little bit more successful. I mean, to be honest, I say a lot of the Eagles' fault this year is the moves that they have made.
Yeah, they didn't pay off.
Bad against the Falcons. DeMarco Murray, I don't even think he played. I think he didn't play the Jet game, but against the Cowboys, he was terrible. The Redskins, they gave up a lead late to Kirk Cousins. And I just, to me, I feel like it may be the time to, Chip, go back to where you were successful. Mm-hmm.
And an interesting thing, too, because let's say he were to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it in Philadelphia. This man likes power. So it's not like he's going to go and become an offensive coordinator on another team.
No, he's going to be a head coach.
Yeah, he needs to be a head coach somewhere. He needs to go somewhere where he has a lot of power. The places he can get a lot of power are a USC. Because another NFL team's not going to give him that power.
No.
It's going to be there. It's going to maybe be a Texas. You know, maybe somebody in the Big Ten that loses their coach. He's going to have to go back to college to amass that power again and have that type of control. Because, I mean, that was the first thing that happened. He comes into the NFL, things go well, and the very next season he has all the power. He's got personnel power and everything like that. So, you know, that's just the way he is, which is unfortunate because when you really think about it, a team that likes to move fast like Chip Kelly does, you know, some team like the Patriots that, you know, could really use a smart guy like Chip Kelly who's kept in check by Bill Belichick, situation like that with an amazing quarterback like Tom Brady – like, that would be death sentence for all other teams for the next, like, 5 years, you know? But he's never going to be an offensive coordinator. It's never going to happen. So he's
no,
going to...
No, he's a head coach guy, and he's...
He's going to have to go back.
I mean, with Cal, like, I just look at it and go, why... And USC would be a perfect fit for him, only because he came from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone knows the... I mean, yeah, if he goes to USC, you're kind of sitting there going, okay, we kind of have... the Oregon of the North and the Oregon of the South.
Yeah, it's going to be fun games.
Because they're
going to
run the same system because Oregon has run the same system for years and years and years. But I just think Chip Kelly knows how to – he knows how to relate – not really relate, but he knows how to coach college kids better than grown men in the NFL. Because part of the LeSean McCoy – you may be sitting there talking to your computer, but Ricky, that LeSean McCoy deal – LeSean McCoy didn't like Chip Kelly, so he basically said, fine, I'm going to get you out of town. That's not good if you're a head coach.
Yeah.
If guys are that against you, I mean, come on. We don't all love, like, every job you've ever worked, you don't love your boss at every single job. There's some jobs you do. But in every single job, you're not going to love your boss. But when you hate them that badly to where the coach just has to say, you know what, we got to get you out of here because you're going to be a cancer in the locker room. That's not good on the coach's side that it got to that point.
Yeah, and it's you have the question, too, of is it something that younger players admire him more, where someone like LeSean McCoy is like, I don't
or
care.
Or they're just more, I want to say
are.
They're more militaristic in the way.
Could
I,
be.
The, what I mean by that is I feel like if Jim Harbaugh walks into Michigan, speaks to the team, gets them rah-rah going up, they buy in.
Yeah.
If I tell you to jump, they're going to say how high. Jim Harbaugh walks into the 49ers. Yeah, the first year you got him to play well. But after that, these grown men don't take very likely to that same kind of coaching that a college kid would be okay with.
Yeah, definitely. Age, I think, might surprisingly make a difference in this case. But, I mean, for me, I think the biggest thing is the question of does Chip Kelly – get fired. And we talked about this last week.
If they don't make the playoffs, yes, he should.
Because, I mean, I look at their schedule, and there aren't easy games. I mean, this is a team that can surprise and upset some teams.
Just look at their next three. Giants and then at Carolina, at Dallas. Yeah, Dallas has lost Romo and Dez, but the Giants look good ever since going 0-2. The Panthers are undefeated right now.
Yep.
Cam Newton, we're even some people are even talking about Cam Newton being an MVP candidate.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. But, You know, they do have, like, the Dolphins in there, which are falling apart. The Buccaneers, the Lions are going to go 0-16. So they have some winnable games. And that's the problem.
The Lions are going to go 0-16. Oh,
it's a fact by now. But, you know, they have the Patriots still, yeah. The Bills, the Cardinals. The Redskins already beat them before. So, I mean, they're going to fall into this kind of 7-9, 8-8, maybe even 6-10 trap where they're just going to be stuck in the middle. And there's going to be a very difficult decision on the, you know, the upper management part of the Philadelphia Eagles of, do we give this another year or do we just cut the losses? And then on Chip's part of, well, what do I want to do? Because I am used to success and I do not have success right now. Notice, I might not get success again.
Notice how in the tweet that I told you I tweeted earlier in the podcast, notice how I phrased it when I sent it out. I didn't say when Chip Kelly gets fired. I didn't say if he gets fired. I said if Eagles miss playoffs, Chip Kelly will be the coach, will be at USC next season.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean he's going. Don't think that, hey, if the Eagles miss the playoffs,
yeah,
they're going to fire him. I think there's also a reality where Chip Kelly – the Eagles go, okay, you know what? We can't fire him because if we fire him, we've gone to ground zero. We're rebuilding. That's basically what we're doing. However, you could get a coach to come in and work with Sam Bradford and DeMarco Murray and actually do something.
Mm.
So it's not a complete loss, but this is the way I would see it going down. They say, okay, we're going to give him another year. We're not going to fire him. But I could see Chip Kelly going, I don't really see this working out. There's this job at USC. USC's been calling me because USC 3 days ago, there was a report on the CBS local site for Philadelphia that said that USC was going to consider and target Chip Kelly if they fired Steve Sarkisian. Surprise, surprise, happened today. I think what's going to happen is the Trojans start – Pat Hayden starts calling Chip Kelly, and Chip starts thinking, man, I could really do some things in college, especially with that with that Trojan team. He'll end up leaving the Eagles before the Eagles fire him.
It's definitely possible. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. He would be a guy who wants to go for success. It's a big name team. It's a team he can have a lot of control over. And things are just looking bad. I mean, the writing's kind of on the wall. I mean, Sam Bradford has like a 32 QBR.
That's bad. And you were telling me before the podcast, you were like, man, I don't think he should go to USC. Just go back to college.
Yeah.
Just leave the NFL for college.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think – I mean, because if he goes to USC, he's back in the Pac-12. My thought is
– which wouldn't be bad. I mean, he did well.
He
can recruit for the Pac-12.
Oh, for sure he can. I think Chip Kelly can recruit anywhere. I would love to see him. The reason I keep saying I would love to see him go to the SEC, I know it's a different style of football, but man, is it easier to recruit someone on SEC than it is Pac-12. Everybody wants to play in the big conference of the SEC.
I'm going
to
throw out a situation for you, and this is to go off of something we talked about in the primetime podcast this week. Kevin Sumlin, another name that is going to be tied into this USC job. If, let's say, a guy like Kevin Sumlin, who's at Texas A&M, leaves for Troy, should Chip Kelly go to the SEC and be – and this is all if the Aggies would target him.
Uh-huh.
If he had the opportunity, you would say, Chip Kelly, go to Texas A&M, be in the SEC.
I just think it's better to be in the SEC. I mean, do you really want to have two Oregons in the same conference? Because really think about it. If you are a recruit – do you play for Chip Kelly at USC or do you play for Oregon? Because Oregon was the team that you associate this system with.
Right now,
some people might not care about Chip Kelly as much.
At this moment, I would say play for Chip Kelly because he's had more success with the system. Mark Helfrich is 3-3 right now. I mean, yeah, you went to a national title last year, but you had Marcus Mariota. That was wild.
Sure, and they'll get another Marcus Mariota probably. They always do. They always get another one of those
Vernon
athletic
Adams was supposed to be the next Marcus Mariota. And
sure. That happens a lot, but they'll get somebody in there that's just as good because it's Oregon. I just think that go to the SEC, avoid Oregon mm-hmm. because you're just making weird, you know,
it's a weird tie.
It's a weird tie that you have to this
team. It's kind of like when you break up with a girlfriend
mm-hmm.
and then after a few years, you're like, you know what? I'm going to get back to her. I'm going to date her like sister or I'm going to date her friend.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. So I just, you know, go to the SEC and then kind of, because Chip Kelly's always had some struggles against SEC mm-hmm. teams. So get in there and then you have to start winning. You have to start winning. You have to build a better defense, probably. You got to get your offense to work perfectly against those type of teams, which might kind of tweak some things, which I think would be a good thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be completely stale. You can't just use the same thing at all times, I think. I mean, we can see it now in the NFL. It doesn't work. So I just think that would be a benefit to him. It's easier to recruit somebody by using the big names of Chip Kelly, especially if you do Texas A&M, too. That's a big name right there. And the SEC. That's fantastic. And they love football out there in the South. You're going to get great players out there. I think it'll work out very well. Of course, you're never going to be a better recruiter than Alabama. You know, the Gators are always going to be great recruits out there. So you're always going to have those type of teams that steal a lot of those guys from you, too. Mm-hmm. But with Chip Kelly out there, like, he could dominate Texas. You know, he could get all the best recruits from
Especially
Texas.
Especially if the Longhorns continue to...
Because what are they going to do?
Well, I mean, Nothing. They beat Oklahoma, but, I mean, that's just one game.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if he went to the SEC and could recruit well, why not? I say there's no... Like, for me right now, I'm calling it Chip Kelly will be the head coach for the USC Trojans by this time next year,
uh-huh.
by the start of next year. I want to talk about a different team. Let's go from Philadelphia. We're going to Baltimore. We're staying in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why Baltimore's 1-4, and John Harbaugh today was asked by the press if he'd considered making any coaching changes. And here's what he had to say. First, he said bluntly, no, no way. Then he went on to say, coaches are doing a good job. We just have a collectively find a way to find to finish games and get the job done. We have tough challenges that we're facing, but we have just the men for the job right here, end quote. And the big question is, which coach under John Harbaugh is more to blame, Mark Trestman or defensive coordinator Dean Pease? Which one to you is more to blame, Trestman mm-hmm. or Pease?
Well, I will say the defense looked good at first, and the defense is also very riddled with injuries. So
I was going to say, you don't have Terrell Suggs out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, big pieces are missing. I really do have to put the blame on Mark Trestman, and maybe part of it's from being a Chicago Bear fan and seeing a lot of what Mark Trestman does, but it just doesn't work. It's not very effective. Yes, the offense is putting up numbers, and yeah, the defense is giving up touchdowns, but it doesn't make sense. I mean, you can literally see frustration at times between players and the coaching staff because of play calling decisions. It doesn't really work. We always talk about people having tape. People have tape of what Mark Trestman just did in Chicago. So they know exactly what to expect out of this. And it's not the best situation. And the best thing for the Ravens, it's unfortunate to say, but was Ray Rice helping out Joe Flacco. And then a great defense. That's what worked out. What do they have now? No defense. No Ray Rice. Joe Flacco.
However, what did help them this past game? Justin Forsett. Mm-hmm. 121 yards, a tutty on the ground. To me, I have two answers to this. As an entire season scope up to this point, I would have to point the finger at Mark Trestman. The reason being, when you went up against a great team in Denver week one, you only put 13 points up. You like the Raider game. Okay, you can put that one on the defense. The Bengal game, you can kind of put it on the defense. I'd put it on the offense. Steelers, you got lucky. That's a good one for the defense because they stopped them, and I'm using air quotes, on that last play. And then this past week, if you're looking at games like a snapshot, if you're looking at just this past week, you're blaming Dean Pease for an entire season. I kind of feel like it's the play calling because we've even said it. John Harbaugh early on would like look at Mark Trestman like, what the fuck are you doing out there, man?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
What was that? I could have called a better play, and I'm a special teams coach.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's funny, too, about this is it's easy to blame the defense because you see losses and you see 33 points, yeah. You see 28 points,
and it's hard not to blame the offense because you see 30 points, 33 in losses.
But I mean, I think even too, you got to always remember that if the offense isn't working out very well all the time, the defense is in bad positions. And that's always going to be pretty damning. A lot of these games have come down pretty much to the end because the offense didn't get it done, and then the defense makes one big mistake. So there's just a lot that's wrong in Baltimore right now. You know, because what have been the big defensive mistakes? Letting A.J. Green get touchdowns, letting the Browns get close enough to kick a field goal. You know, that's really what it comes down to. It's just these last-minute losses.
And I will say, it doesn't help when you let Josh McCown throw the ball 51 times, go for 457 yards on you guys and two touchdowns. Yep. Oh, and he had a scampering on the ground.
The defense had nobody.
And he didn't helicopter McCown this time.
Not this time. Yeah, the defense doesn't have anybody out there. I mean, that's how you know your defense is bad, when Josh McCown's throwing for nearly 500 yards. I honestly think the best answer, I know we were supposed to pick one, but the best answer to this question really is, it's all bad. It's all bad.
The Ravens are just a dumpster fire this year?
The Ravens are just bad. You know, that's really what it comes down to right now. They are just not a good team. And I don't think John Harbaugh necessarily needs to be put on a hot seat.
Well, he's been in the playoffs each and every year.
But this staff that's put around him, it's not good. There's too many injuries out there. Yeah, it just doesn't look good right now.
You've got to win the. If you're John Harbaugh, though, if you're the Ravens, you have to win this week.
The 49ers?
You have
for
to
sure.
beat the 49ers, because to me, the 49ers haven't looked good. And 49er fans, I'm going to tell you, as of right now, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the game that I thought you guys would win. But as of right now, I'm telling you, I told you so. Because I'm calling it an act of God yesterday, that 49ers had the game. Eli, pass, Danelle, putting the ball. It looked like he tried to put the ball on his helmet, a la David Tyree, but hung on to that ball so closely to win the Giants the game. Ravens have to win this week. Because, I mean, they're next two, at Arizona, and then at home against the Chargers. Chargers right now, as we're recording this, up 7-0 over Pittsburgh, so they're winning that game.
Yeah.
And you're at Arizona, and Arizona's going to be a tough opponent this upcoming week, or next week, because they've got the 49ers this upcoming week.
There's some impressive stats coming into this 49ers-Ravens game. I just want to say this. Guess which quarterback, based on touchdowns and interceptions? 6-5, 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and 4-5, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Which is which?
Kaepernick, Flacco.
Joe Flacco, Kaepernick.
Okay.
Yep. Joe Flacco, fortunately, has thrown 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Colin Kaepernick, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Pretty bad. And to be fair, at least Joe Flacco has gotten over 1,000 yards. Colin Kaepernick hasn't done that yet. But Colin Kaepernick runs around.
It's going to be like that game I'm not very high on. For this week, I wonder
with Colin Kaepernick, because he's looked really bad. But does he kind of look like he's going to bounce back because this Ravens defense has not been that great? Or is he going to still throw dirt balls? Because he's throwing a lot of dirt balls.
I still feel like Jim Tomsula is not going to be the head coach of the Niners after this season.
After this season?
He's going to get fired midseason?
Why not? Your team's a joke. It's a mess. Nothing's going well. It's bad. I mean, I think, honestly, he has to bench Colin Kaepernick at some point if he wants to keep his job.
Mm-hmm.
Because Colin Kaepernick is just, I mean, like I said, he's throwing dirt balls out there. He's just bad right now. I would have to look and see who the backup of the 49ers is. I feel like it's not Colt McCoy. I don't know right now. Let me take a look at it. But Colin Kaepernick's not doing it. At some point there is pressure, because if you just keep doing the same thing, it's Blaine Gabbert.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a spell for disaster.
Yo Gabba Gabba.
But at this point, wouldn't you rather at least see Blaine Gabbert out there than Colin Kaepernick continues to throw the balls into the ground?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing with the 49ers, I think it's going to get to a point where you're going to be 1-X, and Tom Sula might have to go, hey, sorry, Cap, but I want to save my ass.
Yeah, and he, I save and your ass. Honestly, probably neither one of their asses is going to be saved.
Oh, no, not at all. None of them are going to be saved. But, I mean, that's the thing with the 49ers. I told, like, didn't I not say that the 49ers were going to be bad, though, this year?
You did say
and
that.
And 49er Nation, oh, no, you're an idiot. And then Monday night happened, and oh, look, you're an idiot. I'm not, like, standing on a soapbox saying they will lose every single game, which I hope they do, so I can say I fucking told you so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that, but I am kind of sitting there going, I told you they'd be bad. I told you they'd be bad. They may not be one win bad, like I said, but they may be bad. Here's another thing I want to throw out, and I want to throw this out because I know that he's listening to this podcast, and I want to appease the people that obviously make us go because we can't do this without the adoring love of our fans. You didn't want to talk about this, but I'm going to throw it in very quickly to this podcast.
Sure.
Jamaal Charles out for the season with an ACL injury. I have an article here with seven players that the Chiefs could sign to replace him. I want you to give me a yay or nay.
Okay.
Ready?
Sure.
Ray Rice.
No.
Why?
Never again.
You don't think he's going to come back to the NFL ever again?
I don't think he should be.
Is this a guy we just throw on these lists whenever someone needs a running back? Like, hey, here's Ray Rice. We're just going to throw him on
here. Well, it's like for a while with Chad Johnson, with T.O. and things like that, where it's just like, I mean, he exists.
Chad Johnson? You mean Chad Ochocinco?
He went back to Chad Johnson.
I know.
Yeah.
But you mean Chad Ochocinco?
Never forget. He went back. Chad Ochocinco is no more. But yeah, I mean, these are just those guys that come back. I mean, he's been out of the league for a while, so it's dangerous to bring him back because you really don't know what you're going to get at this point. But he's just one of the, I mean, really, Terry Bradshaw said it best with just, him saying basically that he hopes that the NFL gets to a point where there is just, and he was talking about domestic abuse against women. There's just no place on NFL teams for players like that, you know, and he was talking about Greg Hardy.
But yeah, that was
great.
It was great what he had to say about Greg Hardy. I loved when I saw it on my Facebook. I'm like, I'm gonna watch this video. It was great. It was amazing.
And with Ray Rice, I think he's a guy with the NFL in a way is saying that about him. They're saying, which is weird because we can. I know Adrian Peterson was different, but we forgive Adrian Peterson. We forgive Greg Hardy. Ray Rice, hell no, we're not forgiving that guy. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just this one, no. These guys, yeah, you guys are cool. Greg Hardy, you want to do flash your gun signs? Like, he's finger banging out there.
Is it because of the video? Okay? Is it because his was on video and the others weren't?
I mean, I guess, but Adrian Peterson, we had pictures.
Do you really think it's worse when you can see? Yeah, but there's a difference between actually seeing the action and just seeing pictures of it. I'm asking the question, do you think the perception of, I actually saw what happened, is that why? I didn't probably see what happened with Greg Hardy, so I don't know how bad it really was.
It probably is, but I mean, the Greg Hardy thing, that guy's just insane.
He's a dick.
He's just like insane. I mean, I think the biggest, I forgot who said it, but some reporter are saying that the biggest thing about him, or analyst, I guess. So the biggest thing about Greg Hardy is that you can tell he just doesn't know that he is in the wrong. He honestly just doesn't see anything wrong with his actions. And that's extremely dangerous. But, I mean, with, you know, at least we've seen remorse out of Adrian Peterson. You know, something like that. I do think watching the video and actually being able to sit there and frame by frame see this thing, it does make a bit of a difference. You know, I'm still surprised the world forgave Adrian Peterson as quick as it did. But I mean, I don't know. It's just interesting to me. I think he's a guy where we're saying, nope, never again.
So
he'll
never be back in the NFL.
I don't think so.
How about a guy who was traded from Philly to the Buffalo Bills in 2014, this offseason, or last offseason, and then this September was cut by the Bills in Bryce Brown? He played for the Eagles during Andy Reid's last season in Philly.
I mean, I guess. I'll give you a, all right.
How about Monta Ball? He's on this list.
Yeah, but he didn't really. I mean, he had good moments in Denver. He had bad moments in Denver. And he was a committee guy.
But when you really need. Yeah, and could they do a committee thing with him? They've got Kathandrick and then Niles Davis. They kind of did a.
You could try. It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
There's also Ahmad Bradshaw, who played with the Colts.
Yep.
Ben Tate, who they are bringing in for a workout.
Probably their best option.
Spencer Ware, who. Guess where he used to play? Duh, the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one I like the most, Pierre Thomas. He's the only one out of all the guys on this list that has been. He was the starter in New Orleans before Ingram came along. Yep. And they're bringing in also Thomas and Tate for workouts.
Don't you wish right now that you could still get Fred Jackson if you're the Chiefs? Because I think you could trade for him. Yeah, but you're going to trade, get some. I mean, seriously, though, Pete Carroll going to give you this guy? I don't think
so. Right now, they've got Rawls. Rawls is on a roll for the injured.
Yeah, but they like
to
stockpile.
Is Fred Jackson injured, though? Wasn't he banged up a little bit?
I don't remember.
I'm going to look it up really quick. But
Fact check.
He was active.
Yeah.
It says he was active yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been tweaked.
Yeah.
He's been tweaked up the past few weeks.
But he was good. Fred Jackson was always pretty solid, never amazing, but I mean, he would do pretty well in a committee. I think he'd be a better option than Monte Ball.
I think he would work really well with the Chiefs too. Mm-hmm.
But it's just you're not going to be able to trade for him. And right now, look, I mean, your team is 1-4. Keep your draft picks.
Well, it's like
they're going to be good.
Well, it's like you said, and Josh, if you're still listening, sorry, but Mark said before the podcast, the Chiefs are already irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares about him except for Josh.
I mean, really, I mean, yes, the San Diego Chargers and the Oakland Raiders aren't doing that great. But Denver has this division. They're done.
already up 5-0.
The division is theirs. They've already won it. Congrats. Have fun in the offseason, Peyton. But you just look at the AFC.
Would you say the same about the Bengals and the Patriots?
Yes. Oh, yeah. They've got their divisions. They're done. Basically, the only thing is the Colts. I mean, do they want to win this?
Mm-hmm.
Does Andrew Luck want to play? You know, does he want to stop throwing interceptions? That'd be nice. But I mean, yeah, it's funny how we talked about this before of like, oh, there's so many teams that could possibly get in here. And there are quite a bit of teams that are looking like they can be wild card teams, but all the divisions are just like on lock.
You know what's the best,
already.
You know what's the best race in a division?
The number 6 seed?
No, I'm talking about the NFC South right now.
Oh.
Like to me, like, just hearing you say, like, oh, Patriots won it, Bengals won it, that's a division where Falcons and Panthers are both undefeated.
Yeah.
Are these teams really going to go into their first meeting on, let's see, when's the first time they play each other? At Carolina on December 13th, undefeated?
No. Nope.
So you don't think so?
They'll both have lost a game by then.
Here's who the Falcons have. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
At the Saints, at the Titans. Buccaneers, at 49ers, Colts, Vikings, at Bucks.
Yep.
Probably one or two.
Yep.
Probably one or two losses. Where the Panthers, they had their bye. Oh, Atlanta will probably have a bye in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
You have the Panthers at Seattle this week. Eagles, Colts, Packers, at Titans, Redskins, at Cowboys, at Saints. Probably going to have a few. If they don't lose this week, they will lose to the Packers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
There's no way the Panthers will get past the
Panthers. They're probably going to lose both.
You think they'll lose? Do you think the Seahawks are going to bounce back?
I mean, the Seahawks, the thing about the Seahawks is they don't.
It's kind of hard to say bounce back.
Yeah, they don't look bad.
They've just lost games.
They're just not doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just losing some games. Yeah, I mean, both these teams are going to be.
Does it kind of have you feel a little better that they, the only two teams. Well, when you look at the only two teams the Seahawks have beaten are the Bears and the Lions, and they have the same record as the Bears now.
Yeah. Hey, Bears are in good company right now.
You
at the moment.
You beat two shitty teams, and your losses all on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Both win. Like, they'll win at home. So that's why
as
maybe
expected.
Against the Panthers this weekend, they'll win at home.
Mm-hmm.
But so far on the road, at Green Bay they lost, in St. Louis they lost, in Cincinnati they lost. Do the Niners get a win against them on the 22nd then? Because that's in
Francisco. Next question, Ricky. Let's not even
Mark
make this a joke podcast.
Mark doesn't want to go into that stuff. But Is there anything else that we missed this week?
Well, I know we do want to talk about our undefeateds.
Okay.
So I think that's a fun moment. We're gonna do that for you guys. We're gonna talk about which undefeated team is the best undefeated team, which undefeated team is the worst undefeated team.
There's how many of them? Patriots, Bengals, Broncos. Yep. We've got Packers, Falcons, we've got six of them.
Yep.
So who are you putting at number six?
Number six, I'm gonna go ahead and put the Atlanta Falcons. They are my worst undefeated team. They almost lost last week. They were the surprise undefeated team. Okay. Matty Ice really did not look very good. They're pretty much relying on that defensive good coaching, but mm-hmm. not the best players, and a really solid run game. They are so lucky they have an amazing run game right now, because if they didn't have it, they probably would have maybe won two games.
I'm thinking. I'm going to go with the Broncos on my sixth. And
interesting.
Kind of because, I mean, this is a Broncos team that probably should have lost this past week at Oakland, should have lost against my Vikings.
Ricky, calm yourself.
Should have lost against the Chiefs if Jamar Charles could have fucking hung on to the ball. I just wanted to tape the ball. Tape the ball to his hands and just be like Riggins' dad from Friday Night Lights and just start punching the ball, make sure he doesn't fumble it. And they got a lucky win against the Ravens week one. To me, this is a team that Peyton Manning isn't the Peyton Manning of last year.
Nope.
John Keller, one of our listeners, it seems like each and every week John has a comment about just agreeing with you, Mark, because you were the one that called it in the offseason of just the realization of, wow, Peyton Manning is not the Peyton Manning
that
we've seen in years past.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I put the Broncos as my lowest ranked undefeated team at this point. Who's number five?
The Carolina Panthers. I mean, you know, the NFC South teams are both surprise undefeated teams. This is a team that doesn't have all the talent out there. They're really just winning. I don't know if it's because they just got great heart or what's going on, but they're winning games. You know, it also could be that they played the Jaguars, the Texans, the Buccaneers, and the Saints, all of which are bad teams. The Saints being the best out of those bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just nothing that's really impressive so far. I mean, if they beat the Packers or something, like, okay, yeah, I'm impressed. But they're beating bad teams. So they're going to lose a game, you know, this week.
I'm going to go with the Falcons. Only because, I mean, to me, the NFC South teams, they're kind of like if one's 3, the other one's 3A. They are like almost the same team where they're kind of both surprises to me that they're undefeated. I thought at least one of them would have one loss by now. I'm going to go Atlanta. That's because at number 3, I've got the Carolina Panthers for the same reason.
Yeah.
Who do you have at 3?
The Denver Broncos.
So you're rating Denver a little bit higher than I am. I'm a little bit lower on them.
I am because a lot of these have been kind of, I don't want to call them fluke wins, but they've been surprising wins of, oh, hey, we got a win, guys. Whoa. But that Denver Bronco defense has been good.
Mm-hmm.
They have been really good. And then Peyton Manning just does enough. Mm-hmm. He does enough. And when you have Peyton Manning doing enough, that's doing better than most of your quarterbacks out there. So it's good. They're going to keep winning games. They're going to be in the playoffs and all that good stuff. They can actually be undefeated for quite a while longer too, because they don't have that many. I mean, I guess they play the Packers. That's going to be a good one in a couple weeks. But besides that Packers game, they can win all those games until they play the Patriots.
And my mistake, my math was off. That was number 4, not number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I have Broncos, Falcons, Panthers is 6-5-4.
Yep.
You have Falcons, Panthers, Broncos. Wow, almost the exact just flip opposite. I'm going to go ahead and take a stab for these last three.
All right.
That both me and you have the same ranking.
I don't know.
Number 3, we both have the Bengals.
Nope.
You have the Packers.
Yep.
Why?
The Packers are not that good. They have Aaron Rodgers. They almost lost last week. They are kissing the ground that James Jones walks on because they are absolutely blessed to have that man who nobody else in the entire NFL wanted. except for them. And it's just working out probably because they already have chemistry between Aaron Rodgers and him.
Makes me feel great. Makes me feel great for picking him up in fantasy as soon as he was signed.
That's all it is. It's just working out. I mean, if it really wasn't for the fact that Aaron Rodgers is out there and mm-hmm. James Jones knows how to catch some balls, and for some reason everybody still doesn't realize that he's the target out there, the Packers wouldn't really be winning that many games. And a lot of these games, too, the Packers don't even really deserve to win. They played really? The Bears once. Come on, guys.
But, I mean, they had a good win against the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Chiefs. The last two, I'll admit. I mean, Niners, I expected it to be more of a blowout than it was. Last one was close, but the Bengals have had close ones, too. I mean, against the Ravens, it was close. Mm-hmm. The Chargers, it was close. The Seahawks, they went to overtime, but...
But that's they win in impressive fashion.
Well, it's Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton to AJ Green is impressive.
Well, Andy Dalton is just saying, you know what? I am sick and tired of the doubters, to where I hope that Andy Dalton can play this way into the playoffs.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I hope that we see a Patriots-Bengals AFC title game.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Patriots are there. I don't know about them Bengals. I had Bengals in my number one seed. Let's remember that. They're my number one seed.
You did. Well, that was before Deflategate got.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Well, Deflategate got deflated.
Well, that really was going to probably put the Patriots at number two, but, you know, who knows.
So, then our top, we both had, you had Packers, so you have Bengals at two.
Bengals are number two.
I have Packers at two.
Yep.
And then we both have the Patriots as numero uno. The way I saw it today is somewhere on, like, an ESPN Facebook post. I can't remember who said it for ESPN, but they had the quote of, are they defending champs? Are they undefeated? Then they're the best team until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
I think something that would be cool, too, how awesome would it be if we had a team go undefeated and a team go without a single win in the same season?
And that team would be like the Lions.
The Lions and the Patriots.
They would have done it twice. And yeah.
Patriots would have done it twice too.
Not only are they the only team to go 0-16, they'd be the only team to do it twice.
They've done it twice. God, I want it so bad. There's really not anything I want in life more than the Lions to go 0-16 again.
Was this what you were precursing in your Lions preview when you said Bears 16-0? Was that really you saying the Lions were going to go 0-16?
The Lions should go 0-16 always. That's what I think. Let's move them. Let's move them to Grand Rapids. I actually saw somebody, I think it was on Twitter, who said, well, can we just move this team to Grand Rapids, which is just another city in Michigan. But I just think it's funny. The Lions fans they're done. They're like, no, we're done with this team. Forget it.
Apparently, one of our podcast friends, Mike Selinsky, who was on for our
he went to a game
West
too.
He went to this past week's game great. For his birthday.
What a disappointment.
He said, like, later on, the fans
sure he
were
had
just...
Fun.
Like, I'm sure he had fun, too, but he was saying stuff like that midway through the game, fans were just booing.
Yeah.
Just booing the
I mean,
Lions
Stafford
team.
Got benched. That's pretty bad. I mean, yes, he's still their starting quarterback, and he's going to be back there, and I'm sure he's not going to throw three interceptions this time, but he got benched. That is a statement right there by Caldwell saying, do not fire me. I will do whatever needs to happen. I will bench Matt Stafford.
Because here's how this is like three. This is in our group text. Dave Ulster, who used to be on the onside kick with us, sent the, well, Mike, at least you get to watch one team play really well. I hit him back with the making fun of, oh, you can tell your future kids that you actually got to witness a game of the second
0-16.
Yeah, the 0-16. And then you just get Mike. He just three texts back to back to back goes, sigh, LOL. Then goes, there are people booing the entire game nonstop.
Yeah.
And then just, LOL, Orlovsky is in, ..
Now watch, of course, since we're saying this on this podcast now, they're going to go and fucking blow out this next game that they're in. But
they are playing the that's who they played this week. I have this week's schedule. ESPN still has this week because the Monday night game's up. They are playing the Bears this week.
Yeah, blowout. Watch out, Bears.
In Detroit.
Watch out, Bears.
Oh, man. Now at this point, you've got to be feeling like, man, we don't want to be the team that...
You can't be the only team.
But out of the undefeateds before we wrap up this podcast, which one has the best chance to lose this week?
The Panthers.
Falcons, Saints. You have Bengals, Bills. We have Broncos, Browns. Panthers, Seahawks, Chargers, Packers, Colts, Patriots.
Still sticking with the Panthers.
Because they're playing the Seahawks in Seattle.
Yeah.
How about this? Take that one out because that's an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the Panthers. And I know that's kind of being cheap, but besides the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's an obvious pick.
Mm-hmm. After that, honestly, with Andrew Luck back out there, maybe the Patriots.
I was going to go Bengals against the Bills.
No.
In Buffalo?
Tyrod Taylor didn't look good last week.
Tyrod Taylor is the only reason why that team won last week.
Yeah, but they won because they scored two touchdowns.
Okay. Okay.
That's not impressive.
Fair enough, Mark. Fair enough.
They're playing Marcus Mariota, the rookie out there. Playing like a rookie, not like the all-star he played game one.
Oh, man, that was a great week. Too bad we couldn't pick him up in fantasy.
No, we started him this week for some reason. Because we have three quarterbacks on our roster, and two of them have a bye on the same week.
Hey,
do we have three quarterbacks?
You drafted the team.
I was not going to draft Marcus Mariota, but you were like, let's draft Marcus Mariota. I'm like, it's the last pick, whatever. Sure, Ricky, here's Marcus Mariota. Have fun. Enjoy.
Before we end this podcast, though, we're going to do what we do every week. Mark, we've got the secret picks.
Ah, of course.
What game? Do you want me to give you yours first?
Yeah, I'll let you go first.
I will hit you up with a... Let's go with Ravens Niners.
Ooh. Okay, cool. The Ravens, definitely. I mean,
just plain and simple Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers are not a good team right now. I think we are on watch officially for our Colin Kaepernick benching. I think we're officially on watch. The Baltimore Ravens aren't really a great defense right now. Injuries have destroyed that team. But I still think we're on watch for that first bench. First, maybe only bench. Ricky, here's my game for you.
Okay.
It is a great game because one of these teams are probably going to have a new quarterback next year.
Hit me.
Houston and Jacksonville.
Houston? I say that very confidently.
Yeah. You obviously do.
Nah, I got to go with Houston at this one because Jacksonville, I mean, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with Houston. They looked better against the Colts. I mean, Jalen Strong, what, two catches for two touchdowns? Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins went off. Arian Foster seems to be getting back to some kind of a form, if you can call it that. Shit games this week. I mean, this week, though, we have, let's see, two matchups, I think. Texans, Jaguars, Dolphins, Titans, and Ravens, Niners between mm-hmm. one-win teams.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
It's not great at all, but that's going to do it for our podcast. I'm picking the Texans for my secret pick. Mark went ahead and picked the Ravens, right?
The Ravens.
So you're going with me. Niners are only one game all year.
Well, they're not going to beat the Ravens. I mean, I can't really pick this team while Colin Kaepernick's there throwing the ball on the ground.
But that's going to do it for the Onside Kick this week. Go ahead and tell us what you think down in the comment section. If you're on SoundCloud, go ahead. Hit that repost and follow button. If you're on YouTube, hit that like and subscribe button. You can follow me on Twitter at Ricky Widmer. Mark is at the Mark Webbers with Dose Ease. You can go ahead and follow Most Valuable Podcast at Most Valuable Pod. I want to thank you guys again for checking out this podcast. And as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod for more great podcasts.